Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and this is a four questions episode of Discover Indie Film, and we're going to have Ari Schneider, star of Elijah's Ashes and Hawken Red Vampire Slayers. He's going to answer them, but Ryan Barton Gimli, frequent collaborator, these two just make great films together, is here too. So, hey guys.
Hello.
Hello.
All right, so before we jump in, should we say where people can find the films?
Hawken Red Vampire Slayers, you can see anywhere in the U.S. on Tubi or Freevee or Amazon Prime. Internationally, just go to justwatch.com and put in the territory, and it'll show where it's playing where you live. It's available internationally, everywhere. And Elijah's Ashes, our first film as well, is. Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, the reason why I'm saying Ari's going to answer these four questions and the Discover Indie Film, I thought it was going to be all impressive. The Discover Indie Film four questions are favorite films, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser-known film that people should seek out. Ryan answered these questions in episode 34 of this podcast, and we are currently recording, I think, number 300-something.
What?
Whoa. Yeah, it's been going for 4 years now. You were in the first couple months.
You've been busy, my friend.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Yeah, you answered the four questions. Actually, we had fun with it because remember Repatriation,
yeah.
Ryan's earlier film. You did. We recorded one with you, one with Doug, and
yeah.
then the director, and then one with both of you.
That's right.
It was kind of that was so much. I tell people about that because I'm like. Yeah, you know, when you have collaborators interview separately and then together, when they listen to the separate ones, they're like, I didn't know that.
That's
there's
funny.
All these things that
totally.
Come up.
Yeah.
But so anyway, that's why Ryan isn't necessarily going to answer these four questions.
Yeah, keep quiet over there.
No, unless you have a problem. Ari has to feel that pressure.
Ari does.
I'm so nervous right now. I don't get it.
But for fun, I do have, it's actually episode 36 was four questions with Ryan. So this was before I started writing them down. So I can't even tell you what your answers were.
I'm sure it was something ridiculous and pretentious.
It was just Die Hard, Die Hard, Die Hard, Die Hard.
Yeah, Die Hard. Die Hard.
Yeah.
And Die Hard. And Die Hard. But,
okay, so, yes, go ahead.
Favorite films. You can name three-ish. You can go long or short if you want.
I would say, okay, and we're not allowed to go pretentious. I'm just kidding.
Pretentious, silly.
Doctor Strangelove, definitely, just because of Peter Sellers' element. And I remember seeing that and being like, that's the same guy. You can do that? You can play all these different roles.
One of the best films ever made.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kubrick, I mean.
Yeah. Princess Bride definitely is there, too. I know that's a common favorite, but it really is one of those movies that... it was one of the first movies that we had owned as a VHS. I think because my sister... recorded it.
And I think it's her favorite movie.
Yeah, and it's so I was like the first movie that I knew like all the lines to, and then you know it is one of those movies that I remember reading the book about that Cary Elwes did about it that you don't know how to where it falls. Like, is it a romance? Is it an action? Is it a fantasy? Is it like a
Is it
drama?
For adults? Is it for kids?
Exactly. It's all over the it's and so
did Rob Reiner direct it?
Did he actually does Rob Reiner exist? Yeah. Is Mandy Patinkin or I have such a bad name. Mandy Patinkin.
Mandy Patinkin.
Yeah, is he actually Spanish? No, he's not. Could he do that today? I don't know. But it's a great role. And I love that role. So anyway, that's there. And I would say One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest was just like from an acting standpoint, just like, oh my gosh, that's just ridiculous. Everything in this movie is just so good. and I'm gonna have to throw it out there though, Tommy Boy as well.
Tommy Boy.
Yes.
Talk about comedy duos.
Yeah.
That was the most tragic thing about losing Farley was that one of the few comedy duos of our generation that worked.
Yeah.
And there probably would have been 10 more.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And just, like, again, I love movies that you can just quote and just endless quotes. You know, like, Richard, do I have a mark on my face? Not here or here so much, but right here. You know, all those things that I can do with my buddies, like, those are the movies that stick with me, you know? So, yeah.
Excellent. I couldn't help but say also, I think Princess Bride gave birth to Spinal Tap and then all the Christopher Guest stuff.
And that's
because
it
the it's such
man.
An ensemble.
Six Finger Man. Yeah, exactly. Right. And I remember not knowing that I saw Spinal Tap and then later on be like, oh, that's Christopher Guest. Again, he's a guy who's... The thing I love about Christopher Guest is anytime he does one of those movies, he, even though Rob Reiner did Spinal Tap, he has to play extremely different character from the role he did in the last one, whether it's like a flamboyant director or like a yokel dude or, you know...
he's amazing.
The Brock...
Yeah. Yeah, just complete refusal to repeat yourself.
And I've heard and I don't know this true, but like he's a very serious guy in person.
Very morose, I hear. Yeah.
But
he can't. That might be. Who knows what he's like at home with his friends and his wife.
Yeah.
I mean, also one of the most successful marriages in Hollywood, right? So
that's
got to be a good guy.
That's true. Yeah.
That's correct. With Jamie Lee Curtis, horror scream queen extraordinaire.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
not to mention other things.
That's what brought it. That was not intentional, bringing it back to the horror thing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, question number two is a film that is underrated.
Underrated. Okay. This is a tough one because anytime I feel I say that, people are like, I know that movie. It's not underrated, but no one's here judging me. So,
no, there won't be any negative feedback.
Underrated. It's not underrated, but people just. I do like the movie The Rock, Michael Bay's movie The Rock. It's not underrated, but it doesn't fit. Like, people have bashed Michael Bay now because...
It's gotten lost.
It got lost in all the terribleness that he's done since then. Please don't listen to this, Michael
Bay. No, but it's a
great
movie.
Please cast me in your movies. But that movie is so... it's just a great action film. And I think it was Michael Bay recently said, yes, he is playing James Bond in that movie. He's supposed to be James Bond when he's older, Sean Connery.
It's awesome.
And that's fun. Another one, that's sort of this underrated, it's just, I thought it was going to do a lot better, was I liked the remake to 310 to Yuma. I thought that movie was almost perfect because I'd never seen the original, and it's a type of movie that I didn't know what was going to happen in the next scene. Character-driven, Western, the music is perfect. I thought Ben Foster was for sure going to be up for Best Supporting Actor. I thought that movie was great, and I thought come Academy time it was going to do so well, and it did, and it did. So I really, yeah, that's a movie I actually...
Yeah, that's a good one. I've I didn't see it, but I've heard nothing but good things, and yeah, it's one that got snubbed.
I watched it, and
it's phenomenal.
I saw it in the theater by my... It was one of the first times I saw a movie by myself, and... yeah, I don't know. There's something in that. But yeah, I just was like, I walked out of it like, you guys are not going to believe I saw the best movie. You know, and you just watch that movie. And anyway, yeah.
There's something really cool about going to a theater alone and because you just have to see something and then seeing it. But it's not an empty theater. There's other people around.
Sure. I do sometimes sit in the back corner like a creepy dude, though, just because I don't.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's my go-to, dude.
Yeah.
I have to see movies alone.
Yeah.
I actually am annoyed seeing them with other people. I mean, I just,
unless there are other film dudes, like,
yeah, because like I just want to like be in it, you know.
It's funny because I hate people talking in the movie too, but I do this annoying thing with one of my friends where I can't help but whisper in his ear while we're watching the movie, like, stupid things. Like if it's like Tom Cruise, would be like, "That's the guy from Risky Business," and, like, and he gets so annoyed with me, but I can't help
you
it.
You do your own MST3K.
Yeah, exactly. You're like,
oh man,
you saw us on this bar movie. I think it's called Cocktail. He's like, shut up. Yeah.
And then Outsiders.
He and Rob Lowe were kind of interchangeable on the outside. But one of them did a sex tape that, oh gosh.
Oh, career. Man.
Yeah, anyway.
All right, well, the next question.
Yes.
Is overrated. And a film that is overrated. And I always say, like, you're not saying it's bad.
Sure.
You're just saying that the accolades or it's on everyone's top.
I got two. And, I love the Coen brothers. love is not a strong enough word. Like, they are inspiring. Blood Simple, Fargo, I mean, just even Bart Fink, which I still don't understand to this day, but I don't have any idea what happened in that movie. But and obviously The Big Lebowski, I mean, and that is the movie, talk about quotable, every line. Yeah. But I really liked, and I know it was following the book, I really liked No Country for Old Men. And it didn't have to have a wrapped up ending per se that the good guy wins, but it just has to have something. But that movie ended with Tommy Lee Jones talking about how he failed as a cop and didn't get the guy, and I'm like, I was just so depressed when it ended because it had all these great action scenes and the, you know, Javier Bardem is obviously amazing in it, but like, I just felt like, don't tease us with these great stuff and then not give. So I felt like that was a little. I just didn't like the way. I just didn't like.
It was like a rug pull at the end.
Yeah, and also like, you know, I get that that's what they do, that type of stuff. I get it. I like messing with the audience, but don't mess with the audience when you're so doing such good stuff. Like, also when, what's his name, dies, Brosnan, spoiler alert, he dies, Chase Brolin dies, it's just nothing. I'm like, what the, that was the guy we were following in the movie.
Who's the hero? Killed the hero.
Full disclosure is that sometimes is my overrated. I'm with you on that, and my reasoning is I'm also a Coen freak.
Yeah.
And I could name 5 Coen Brothers films that are superior that didn't even get nominated for Best Picture. And then they win for that one, and they beat There Will Be Blood, which was...
That's another thing.
That's that... I mean, I was so happy that the Coen Brothers got one, but that wasn't the one they deserved.
Right.
And There Will Be Blood was like...
There Will Be Blood is...
That's an age... That's one of those movies that's like... This is one of those movies people are going to watch in, like, film classes. They're going to watch... They're going to... Yeah,
and I haven't revisited No Country for Old Men, but I can. But I know that 20 years from now, if I see There Will Be Blood again, and I watch No Country for Old Men like 3 days later,
yeah,
I'll be like, no, There Will Be Blood is a masterpiece, and that's a good Coen Brothers movie.
Yes, right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
With an experimental ending.
Yeah.
We just, you know, they just. I
also got to get out.
So brilliant, so often.
I mean, and this is. I'm not alone with this one, but like. The Abyss is one. The Abyss is one of my favorite movies. You know, Titanic was just a. I'm sorry. I know this is. Titanic was not a good movie. I'm going to say it. It was not a good movie. It was not a good movie. The script is awful. Billy Zane is chasing Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet while the ship is sinking and shooting, firing a gun at them. While, like, that's in the movie, and James Cameron was like, yeah, this is going to work. And he was right. It won Best Picture. It's made more money than God and everything. But I've watched that movie a few times now with different people, usually women, and
I mean, they all cry,
and I still say, like, I'm sorry.
What are you feeling?
I'm sorry. It's not going to change. This is a, like, great, beautiful movie, but like, they both could have fit on that thing too, and all that stuff. They totally could have fit on that.
Yeah, there's yeah. I haven't seen that film since I saw it opening weekend in Westwood.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen it since I saw it in theaters the first time. So I always, but so it's very easy just to remember the ending sequence.
Sure.
And, like, forget about the 2 boring hours before that.
Really quick, though, I remember I had somebody lent me screeners, and I was with a girl, and we watched. I'd already seen Titanic, and she's like, I really want to watch this movie, Titanic. Like, how about we do a double feature? There's this movie with Nick Nolte called Affliction that I really want to see.
I hear it's a comedy. It's a real
thing. And I watched it. I'm like, that was really good. That was a really good. She's like, I don't. And then she watched Titanic, and she was like, that was so good. It was just the juxtaposition was hilarious. Yeah.
Anyway. Hilarious. All right, well, there's only one more question left, which is a lesser-known film that people should seek out.
It's not necessarily lesser known in respect that it was nominated or it won Best Foreign Film years ago, and I am kicking myself because I think it's Dutch, and I should know this if I'm talking about it. It's called Character, and it's with a K, and it was one of the first, like, subtitled movies I think I saw as a kid, and it's about a guy who grows up poor, and his father... works for the government in evicting people, but his father's not his father is a bastard kid. So his father had slept with the maid, and that's how this kid was born. And his father's a terrible human being, and he's kind of, his whole life is proving that I don't need this guy. He becomes like a successful banker, and it's very beautifully shot, and it's just about him trying to prove that he doesn't need this guy, his father, and their dynamic. And it feels very old school, but it's a beautiful film. It's called Character, and I highly recommend it. I wish I could remember the name of the director or any other details, but yeah.
I found it on Wikipedia. I'll say it was directed by Mike Van Diem.
Casper Van Diem's
1997, yeah. Dutch Belgian.
That is Dutch.
Yeah. I can name who started. And look, let's be honest. We're sitting in Los Angeles, so the Oscar winner for best foreign language film is a film that no one's seen.
So that's right.
Unless it was like Life Parasite. Is Beautiful or something. Yeah. Well, that's when they crossed over, right?
Yeah.
Like people just don't bother.
Yeah, nobody knows the heck whenever I talk about this movie. It's also a very tight movie. It's just finishes great. It's all.
But I mean, we've kind of bonded over that. We love watching in like international stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. Totally. Yeah.
The storytelling's different.
Yeah, and it's gotten, now one of the amazing things about streaming is now all of a sudden everyone I talk to who's under 30, like in their top three, is thrown in Korean films.
I got
zero data. I got Parasite.
Yeah.
And like a couple other things, but like there's a whole there are whole cultures of filmmaking.
Oh, dude. RBG knows a lot.
I love Korean horror and stuff. Like Mother, the Parasite director's earlier movie is like so good. Oh my god, that movie is outrageous. And Old Boy and Sister Vengeance, the stuff.
Old Boy's great.
The Vengeance trilogy. They just have a really
if you watch Old Boy, you need to have a day.
They're able to balance comedy and darkness, like really bone-crushing, deep, emotional darkness, in a way that I haven't seen another culture do in film. It's wild. It's very cool.
Yeah, and all over Europe, there's films that we don't see.
Yeah.
You know, and there's actually, I keep hearing about Africa, and there's great films coming out of Africa.
We were just talking about Nigeria,
Nollywood.
Nollywood. Yeah.
And they're making shit tons of like low budget action movies, horror movies, but all with like indigenous culture plots.
Yeah,
so it's not gonna be anything you see.
And they are, in spite of what some people would expect, we had a film, actually the winner at Filmvasion LA 2022 for best feature drama was from Kenya.
Amazing.
And shot and made completely Kenyan, from top to bottom, and it looks like a Hollywood film. The equipment, the technique, the cinematography, the sound, everything. It's, you know, this attitude that like other people don't make them like as good as we do.
It's over.
Because technology is like a DSLR can do it.
Totally.
I would say that there's even an argument.
That ours are now worse.
We've got some
story. I'd say the storytelling can be far more interesting, especially in like the Danish films and those Danish comedies and all that stuff. That one's just messed up. But yeah.
So fun.
But like they just have a better. I think they're not afraid to do as much as some of the stuff here that we do, right?
To be fair, a lot of these countries are providing film funds. So
does that little country, Canada.
Correct. And, Ireland, Denmark, a lot of these places. So if you write something that's kind of edgy, you have a lot of very enthusiastic art-supporting people on these boards. So they'll do a comedy that's really boundary pushing, or a drama that totally makes you think, or like Another Round, that Danish movie about people being alcoholics with Mads Mikkelsen. Like that would never have gotten made in the United States, even with a streamer. There's no way. But half of their budget was from the government. So
I know we get at the film festivals, we get amazing films, particularly for, I don't know if Belgium has figured out that the Sherman Oaks Film Festival is a good festival, but we are ranked in the top 100 globally, yes. Best reviewed festivals.
Amazing.
But we get these films and they're amazing shorts, and in the end, right at the end credits, you see, you know, that all the public entities, the Belgian Film Fund, yeah. This, that,
yeah.
That made an amazing short film about a guy who accidentally thinks he's run over a child, and it's a dark comedy. He runs over his son's best friend as he backs his car out in a rush to get his son to a guitar lesson. Turns out it was actually a body that fell out of the landing gear of an airplane, so the body was already dead. Oh my gosh,
that's brilliant.
But it was brilliant, black and white, and no one would fund that.
No.
So
not in that way. No. Wow,
no.
That's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's insanely good. But, yeah, insanely good stuff from all over the place, and we've definitely reached the point where no one can see everything.
That's right.
I don't feel bad anymore that I don't know anything on anyone's list, because
I was gonna go religious and I said, no, let's just not do that because I'm not religious. He said no one can see everything, and I was like,
that's
well
true.
There's
but
this
Jesus
guy.
Can.
Well, yeah, you could go that way. Well, yeah.
It
doesn't fall in line with
that.
I know so little about religion I can't even make a joke about like what I was about to do.
I'm officially ordained in the Tao of the dude to marry people, so
for reals?
Yeah.
So if anyone's
I might
listening,
need your services soon.
Okay. I was listening. There you go. RBG. Dude wedding.
That talk about kismet to find out about that. the person I've whatever. I'll share this after we stop recording. So you just heard Ari Schneider's answers to the four questions. Ryan Barton Grimley chiming in and Jeff Howard chiming in. If you want to hear Ryan's answers to the same questions, I think it was episode 36 of this podcast. And, of course, you're listening to 300-something. I think it's 308, probably. I don't know.
That sounds right.
I've been binging these things, dude. I'm recording like three a week. It's so funny. When someone cancels on me.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm so sorry I have to cancel. I'm like, what? You're sorry that I get a night back in my life? Like, just
wait, so we're not paying you for this. I thought we were. Oh, wow.
I accept payment in love.
Oh, okay.
And
we definitely got
Bitcoin?
And Bitcoin.
Bitcoin,
yes. Yeah.
Yes. All right. So, you heard at the beginning how to find all of these guys' films. Go to discoverindiefilm.com to learn about this podcast and the TV series that was born out of it. At DIF Wins on social media. I won't even bother naming the film festivals because, come on, no, you're not still listening, are you? Are you still listening? All right. So, thank you, Ari. Thank you, Ryan. My apologies when I stumble on names, but, you know.
No worries.
I'm facing traffic. And now I got to hit up Ryan to marry me.
Yeah. Okay.
Marry me to someone.
Oh, this is for you.
Yeah, the person I call my wife, we've been faking it for a long time, and on our 10th anniversary, we're thinking about making it legal.
Yeah, I'm up for it, dude. If you actually want me to.
I don't know if we actually need that. We're just going to go to the courthouse and.
Would your wife be cool with that? That's the thing, too.
No, we're thinking we know of another friend who might or might not. You know, we don't know if you actually need the ordained person to, like, sign it. Yeah,
you don't.
You know,
you can just go to the Beverly Hills Courthouse. That's the easiest thing. You literally go up to the window.
Yeah. And they just, like, charge an extra fee for one of them to witness it, right?
Right.
Correct.
All right, well, then I don't need you.
I think it's $50.
And then I'll stop putting wife in quotes. My wife in quotes.
Have you been doing that?
I get to remove the quotes.
That's really funny.
I do that just to remind myself that I still live in sin.
Oh, that is true. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Living in sin.
You know, we've been sinning so long. And since I know no one's listening and no one who truly knows me will hear this, of course, you know, I'm a stepdad, which makes me a motherfucker.
Wow, man, if I knew I could do this language throughout the whole show, I would have gone, this is a missed opportunity for me. But
yeah, well,
yes, but you are absolutely right.
Missed opportunity, but we could always do it again someday, you know,
yes.
I'll get the Sherman Oaks Film Festival behind me and
do it.
You guys want to shoot the shit again?
Yeah, it's fun. Dude, it's super fun talking.
It was great.
It is fun. Like, making films is fun. Everything you guys do is fun. But, like, every once in a while, you got to sit down and talk about it. There's something really rewarding.
Dude, I need to geek out.
It's fun to geek out about.
I have to geek out, yeah.
Yeah. I was just saying to Ari last night, we went to this big family dinner, and, like, my wife, Simone, and I, and our two kids ended up geeking out with some of the older cousins who were, like, in their early 20s, just geeking out about Umbrella Academy, Dragon Prince, and, like, God, there was one other thing. Tales of Earthsea, this book, this, like, sci-fi book from the 50s, and we were just geeking out about this stuff, and we forgot there was a whole other family function happening, and, like, they all got up and started leaving, and we were like, what?
I'm bummed I missed this.
No, I mean, it was just exactly your element. It was great.
Yeah.
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 It turns out, like, the next generations are, they're going to be okay.
I agree.
I think they're maybe a little better than we are.
I think every generation gets better. Yeah. In many ways. I mean, look, my 14-year-old.
Yeah.
She's had friends, I think we're still allowed to say, out of the closet. She's had friends who've been out of the closet since, like, fifth grade, sixth grade. Amazing. And, like, and I have very close friends who came out in their 40s after divorcing their wife and coming out to us that, you know what,
sure.
I actually always knew, but I, you know, like no one in our, when I went to high school in the 80s, no one was out. Mm. No one, like, you couldn't be. So, I mean, it's just like they're growing up in a better culture, and they have big.
Yeah.
The kid has good taste. She wanted to see Nope with me, so I took her to Nope, and then I showed her Get Out and Us.
That's awesome.
And, like, we watched Get Out, and
so
she's
good.
Like, why are they? She, like, said, why are they focused on stealing the bodies of black people?
Yeah.
And then we had a nice, like, half hour, maybe hour discussion about the history of black bodies being exploited.
Yeah.
And, like, she's down. Like,
and there's a lot of good interviews also with Jordan Peele just for that exact, like, question. Like, he can goes into all this.
Dude,
he's
a gift, man.
Yeah,
he's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she lives in the era where he has a voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great. Yeah, that's super awesome. Yeah.
And women have voices, and, you know, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. In spite of everything everyone says about everything, it's pretty good.
No, my kid's mixed, like, race. He's got his mother's half black, half French, Canadian French Filipino, and I'm full blown Jew, Ashkenazi Jew. But, like, my mother's from Buenos Aires, and I was always like, oh, I did the 23andMe, and it's just like, you are. There's nothing else, just 100% Jew.
Well, that's because no one else would sleep with us.
Yes, well.
Or in Europe.
We had a tumultuous past. But, you know, but so for me, just like, you know, it's, it's, to me, I love the fact that he trusts people of color before just what like white people right off the bat, you know, like that he's wary at first. And it's just, I like that. You know what I mean? There's something about that I just feel like that is the, if he feels like an X-Men, like, he's also got, like, the best of both of us, too. I'm just starting to talk about my kid now, and I could just dish about him forever.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
No, I mean, he's getting to grow up in a city that's, like, awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah. He's getting
more liberal than
liberal.
Most
places. Yeah, I mean, I guess one of the world's big problems is people live in homogenous communities, but, you know, growing up in L.A., most of us grew up not in a world that was only white, so, and, like, my stepdaughter, she's never had all white friends. You know, it's like
isn't that awesome?
When you, this is very inspiring to me. When I said to her, and Obama was still president, and so she was probably 7 or 8. And I said, when I was your age, everyone said there would never be a black president. And her response was, she looked at me like I was the dumbest motherfucker whoever. She's like, what are you fucking saying? The president has always been black. Because she was born in 2007.
That's so cool.
And he won in 2000. He was 8 to 16. So the first 9 years of her life, the president was black. So the idea that black people can't be leaders, she just doesn't understand that stupidity.
Yeah.
Because her entire life, the most powerful man on earth, most powerful person on earth was a black man. And she's just like, and now she feels the same way about sexism, that it just doesn't make sense. Like, why?
Right.
Yeah.
Why do people think women should be subjugated? Like, it just doesn't calculate. So, yeah, it's going to be a better world. We just, I don't know. There's some rough people that have to.
We just got
to
keep the positive. I know this sounds cheesy. We just got to keep the positivity going and keep working together. And
we don't want to round them up and put them in camps.
I mean, there's certain groups, but
I mean, they that's what makes the weird tapestry of this country, right?
Yeah,
is the push and pull and the moving forward and then backwards and all this business.
Like, yeah, and we all believe the Dr. King quote that it is the arc of justice, the arc of history trends towards justice. Even if when it feels, Lord knows right now, we feel some setbacks.
Yeah, with the Roe v. Wade thing. But I was just listening to an interview where it turns out that now all of the folks who were gathering together and leveraging resources to make that happen are in dissolution. They don't have any other causes. So,
And what they've done will probably take the center of the country and push them away from the party that supports robbing women of their rights.
Correct. Correct. Because people love freedom. And once you give it to them, you really, it doesn't work to take it away.
Yeah.
That's not going to last, man.
It doesn't.
No way. No way. Rightly so. It's amazing that the people... Yeah, no, I mean, people are going to vote on that. There'll be a new law, and it'll be a better law.
Yeah, and yeah. Even the great Donald Trump said that this was a bad thing for the right wing, because you're going to lose...
Yeah.
You're going to lose not everybody, but you're going to if you lose 1%, 2% of your support...
Your sliver.
You lose everything,
because
it's so razor thin.
Right. Yeah, and then the real truth is that, you know... 65 to 75% of this country is pretty squarely in the middle. You know, they're not that religious, they're not that liberal, they're not that capitalist, they're not that socialist. They kind of just want to pay their bills and have a good time. They kind of love the country, you know, and that's basically how it's always going to be. So, you know, folks on either extreme are out of their minds.
And that healthy center in the end is just like, leave me alone and I'll leave you alone. And then when they realize that you are fucking with their neighbor, they're like, well, wait, you shouldn't fuck with my neighbor, actually.
Yeah.
Like deep down, people care about each other.
Yeah, totally. And they're like, oh, you can't tell my sister what to do with her body. That's not cool. And they'll be like, and that's got nothing to do with my body.
Well,
and you can't do that with someone else's.
Are we're still recording all this?
We actually are.
Okay, yeah. So I just wanted to know what I could... Yeah, I was going to chime in, and then I was like, well, you guys are far more informed than I am, so... Yeah. No, but I agree. Yes, women, pro-choice... Pro-choice, very much so.
Yeah.
Well, oh my God, I'm not going to get myself in trouble, but I think we all agree that birth control is what it all comes down to. Allow, because these people are anti-sex. They think that, well, if a woman doesn't want to get pregnant, then she shouldn't have sex. And it's like,
That's gonna not work
our
out for us.
Species exists for one reason.
There's a great meme I saw, and I think it's like obviously not a real photo, but it was like, and I'm gonna cannibalize it, but it was something like all the line for all the people who voted against Roe versus Wade. This is the line for them to adopt children, adopt children who need homes or something like that. And it's like this empty line of like, yes. It looked like at the DMV or something. It was like, nobody's right. In line. I didn't get that right. But like it, that to me, yeah, is the, oh man, the hip part. I just can't even, it makes me sick.
It's wild. And it's interesting because it's like, yes, that's how all humans were created. And resources are scarce. But we have to control how that happens. And yet you're not allowed to control these other things that we do. So it's like very selective control and law and order. And interestingly, we were having a conversation earlier about slasher movies. Because Ari and Robbie are working on a slasher musical, which is fucking amazing. But it's always, slashers are always about people having sex and they're not allowed to, and they need to pay the price. And it's this metaphorical, like weird mythological creature or baddie or something that is like this instrument of puritanical control that comes and kind of punishes them, you know. And I was talking about how to adapt that to like moms who are horny.
I mean, now I'm back in the conversation.
No, wait, what? Yeah, no, it is interesting. Yeah.
You know?
I'm too ignorant to know, but like, yeah, in countries with healthier attitudes towards human intercourse.
They don't make slashers in Scandinavia.
Because slasher films, yeah, we're just about punishing kids for fucking.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're going to go?
Yeah.
There's literally these parody movies called Don't Fuck in the Woods. There's Don't Fuck in the Woods and Don't Fuck in the Woods 2. And they're exactly what you think. They just make fun of slasher movies. They're great, dude. I'm happy to plug them. They're hilarious.
That's true. That is funny to think that, yeah, whatever. I can't name Freddy Krueger. I don't remember killing kids.
No, that was just for...
That was his dream.
Well, he was getting revenge, right, because of what was happening.
Yeah,
because
the family burned him.
Yeah.
The neighborhood burned him.
Right.
But I just mean, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know if there was there a hidden thing to that? Like,
I mean, you know, he was getting them in their bed.
Yeah, it was, you're just never, I think the whole thing is that you're not safe anywhere.
Yeah, you're not, yeah. Wes Craven was a genius anyway.
Oh,
yeah.
He is great. Nightmare on Elm Street is one of my top 10 for sure. And that score. That's a beautiful score.
That's
epic synth score.
Yeah, the synths.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we were doing my top films, not yours. So.
That's true.
Know your place.
And now we've done...
Know your place, sir.
And we've done like a good extra 10-15 minutes on like randomness.
I love it. There you go.
It's fun. Yeah, like that's the joy. And I guarantee there's still like a person or two listening because conversation is good. And especially now we're so isolated. I think that's why people like this podcasting thing because... You know, I listen to Pivot every week. That Scott Galloway and Kara Swisher
having
a convo about what's going on in tech and business, and like, I just love listening to them talk to each other.
I listen to them all the time.
I love that we talked for so long too, and just because I could keep talking, and I love that I also received a text from a possible person I might be going to date with who thinks I just ghosted them. Because we've been talking for so long, and literally asked me, "Are you ghosting me?"
So you got the. Why haven't you responded? That's because you were being recorded for an hour.
4 hours. It's not a big deal, but like it was just really funny. I love that.
That's
awesome.
that
happened. I love because I would just. I could talk forever, but I have friends of mine who just be like, "All right, I can tell they're getting tired on the end phone if I'm starting. If movies come up, I can tell. Like even if I'm like Robbie, who I collaborate, Robbie Elfman." I can hear him on the other end sometimes being like, okay, I'll let you go.
That's fine.
It's perfect timing.
Oh, I'm trying to develop the skill of getting off the phone. Because, yeah, when people are on the phone with me, I'm like, I don't know how.
I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to end.
Oh, I'm just always up front with them. I'm like, hey,
Cool. So, segue.
And you just
I
do a fart
gotta
burp.
Go.
Sorry.
Yeah, that is the best advice.
And then I shower them with love and compliments for about 5 seconds and hang up.
Or I say to them, would you like to have a shower?
Yeah, would you like to have a shower and some compliments?
That's exactly.
Would you like to shower together?
Compliments.
They're like, I've got to go.
And then someone, with like a chainsaw will come through the...
That's right. That's right.
Come through the shower curtain.
Would you like to be in a horror movie?
Yeah.
Are you okay with fake blood being poured all over your body?
Yeah, we didn't get to that story, but we will one next time.
Yeah.
I got the flu from Hawk and Rev and missed my bachelor party.
You did?
Because of the fake blood.
Well, it was 25 degrees when we shot those gore scenes.
Yeah.
It was the coldest night in Los Angeles in, like, I don't know, decades. It was bizarre.
Yeah.
It was freezing. Literally freezing. The stuff was turning into taffy.
Went to the hospital, and then the next week, then we did reach, and then we picked it up, and I was like, and then it was like 3 layers of thermal underwear. I was back at it. Like, Yeah.
And it proves anyone who says going out in the cold doesn't give you a cold. It's not true. You get a cold when you go out in the cold.
You get a cold. Stay warm, folks, but stay cool now.
Yeah, I don't know the biology of it. But it happens.
Something happens.
I've had a nickel for every time I said that. Sorry.
I don't know the biology of that.
Oh, man.
Every woman I've lived with, I've said, can we move to Ecuador? I want to live right on the equator
so the
sun is never that far. You have two seasons. Summer and really hot summer.
Yeah.
And then summer again.
Yeah, absolutely.
A weird piece of trivia. Ecuador has literally thousands of species of hummingbirds, where we have 5 or 6 in California, and they get as big as seagulls.
What? No.
Yeah. Look it up.
All right.
All right. Well, that's crazy. You know, that's, all right.
Thank you. Thank you for giving us the note to end on. And I
knew that would end
by the way. And if you ever have the budgets at your fingertips, I'd certainly want a horror film about giant hummingbirds attacking humans. It'd be like Hitchcockian.
I think it'd be so unbelievable no one would ever buy it.
Dude.
But I think that's a
hummingbirds are also scary as fuck up close.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're very cute, but they have the nectar.
Very aggressive.
You don't want to mess with that.
Oh yeah, they'll buzz you. They'll buzz you if you're too close.
So like the birds with hummingbirds. That sorry.
Yeah.
Very
literally.
Sweet and sweet
hummingbirds.
Yeah. Oh man.
Did we
still going or did you?
I didn't hit stop.
No,
yet.
This is
we're at 42 minutes.
I don't know if we're getting better or getting worse, but yeah.
I have no judgments.
That's a good place to end.